Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we're joined by recurring guest. You
yeah.
know him, you love him. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Carl Tart.
It's been 84 years.
Thanks for joining us, Dr. Tarchi.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely.
It's always a new season. It's a new day.
Yeah.
A new life, and I'm feeling good.
Soldier in PG's Army, the general right here.
So I'm a soldier in PG's Army.
Always a pleasure to have Carl on the show. Anyways, basically today's show is going to be a recap of the preseason weekend. We're going to be talking breakdowns from the first two games in segment one, talking about how Kawhi and Paul George are looking, as well as some talk about the new guys. Then we're going to be talking about some surge and some of the other new additions and how they're working so far. And then we're also going to wrap things up talking about Ty Lue and anything else that's kind of floating around the Clippers sphere. Also, just want to give you guys a heads up. Tomorrow will be Twitter Tuesday. Go ahead, get your questions in to @LockedOnClips. We'd love to hear from you. So yeah, without any further ado, let's get this thing going.
Yes.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So we have to also give a shout out to Built Bar. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code locked on. You'll get 20% off your next order. So this was a weekend of preseason losses for the Clippers. Friday, they lost 87-81. Sunday, they lost 104-128. No LeBron or AD for either of these games. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we could start with Kawhi and PG, right? That's probably what people are mostly wondering about. Seemed like Kawhi is very much in still ramping up mode, right?
I think that's fair, though. It's early.
For sure. Yeah, he just looks a little, you know, he's still getting there.
Especially that first game. I mean, people were kind of commenting that he's like not even running, which I think is really funny. I think that it's the right approach, this sort of graduated sort of, you know, getting him in to speed. And I don't know, man, I got to be honest. It's great just to see this guy back on the court. He talked about how much fun he has playing the game. And, you know, it's not something that we maybe always associate with Kawhi, but there were definitely some times in this first game, especially where it looked like he was having a lot of fun. The hell nah on the Trez jumps.
Oh, yeah.
Jump shot was just great. Like, we're back. We are back.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, last 30% of both of these games were really bad. Third, fourth units for the Clippers. Just kind of whatever. So like PG, I think, was a really big bright spot over this weekend. PG looks like he's ready to go in terms of movement, in terms of all that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I think the biggest positive with regards to both these guys from this weekend is just A, we had them at the start of training camp. They're playing in the preseason. We didn't get that last year. And, you know, we talked about it on the show. The most important thing that we're looking for is like the formula or the process or whatever you want to call it, building those good habits that we need to make a deep season push. And this is just this is the very baseline of that. But that's still, you know, that's still a positive sign. These guys are so far backing up what they've been talking about coming into this season.
I'm growing out my braids as a general in PG's Army.
Absolutely.
Braid PG is looking dope. I'm not mad about these games, man.
Yeah, it's hard to take a whole bunch away from it.
Yeah.
You're not overreacting at all?
I'm not overreacting. I think that there's two ways that this ended up happening. That they put us against the Lakers two times in a row. Either they're trying to keep it COVID safe because we share an arena, or it's the anti-Clippers media trying to make us into a laughing stock even more because they knew that the Lakers were more ready than we were.
That's fair. I think it's a little bit of both. Well, with a team like the Clippers, any team that has, say, you know, I'm just going to grab something out of the air, just a random situation. Maybe a team has the same coaching staff as the year before. They're going to be a little better equipped for the preseason than a team that has a brand new coaching staff. Like when this game and the game on Saturday, and I guess a little bit on Friday too, or excuse me, Sunday on Friday too, the Lakers went to like a zone defense in the second half and the offense just looked horrible for the Clippers. But that is because Ty Lue talked about how they hadn't even instituted like a zone offense yet in practice for stuff like
yes.
that. So like,
yes. And for anyone who didn't watch the game also, this second unit offense was also like guys who may not even get rotation minutes at all for the Clippers.
For sure. So there's playing not a whole the Lakers B unit. Yeah, there's not a whole bunch to take away. You know, Kawhi and PG looked smooth. Nothing really. They didn't look like they had any hitch in their giddy ups in terms of health or anything like that. The ball movement looked really good in Sunday's game compared to Friday's, which was great. There was a bunch of extra passes, which was really cool to see. But I think, like, if anyone's freaking out about these games, these games are so different, just these two. Friday's game, the Clippers attempted 36 threes, and on Sunday's game, they only took 19. So there's a bunch of different stuff being worked on right now. And I think one of the things people were kind of worried about, and Will, I texted you about this, is the defense. Like, the perimeter defense in these last two games wasn't good, but that wasn't really the focus of the team, it seemed like.
Yeah. I can't confirm. I didn't get a chance to ask Ty Lue about it, but it seemed like since they were playing the Lakers, especially with the A unit guys and this kind of new starting lineup that we have, they were really placing an emphasis on having a greater interior presence. And I think that there were times where it absolutely looked swarming. You know, Batum's play was up and down, but he had a really nice
guy,
exchange. He had a really nice exchange against Gasol to sort of close out that
hit
first
a couple
half.
Of threes in Sunday's game too.
Yeah, hit a couple of threes. So I think that was more the emphasis, especially when you play the Lakers, a team that is, you know, they're built on that, like that sort of dominant sort of paint offense, you know, getting out in transition. And I think that they worked well to establish that. Another thing that makes me think this is at one point, instead of the entire team running back on offense, Kawhi just gave Pat Bev the go-ahead to shoot a three.
Oh, yeah.
So they could all just get posted, like, so they could all just get into their sets for the next defensive possession. But yeah, I thought that there were times that it looked good. Once again, it's really hard to judge like how good a paint defense is if you're not going against LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I guess it's still pretty effective against, you know, 90% of the rest of the league. But yeah, it seemed like that was kind of what they were going for. And there were times where I thought that it looked pretty good. Once again, you know, these aren't games for me to really overanalyze, you know. But I think the biggest thing for me was defensively, we saw more communication than we saw. And anytime there was like a turnover, or, you know, a bad pass, guys were talking, and it wasn't just the kind of thing where someone was yelling at somebody else. Everybody on the floor like was talking about where they should have been and how they could have communicated that better and rotated better to make that a more efficient possession.
Carl, what stood out to you in these games?
Terrence Mann.
Yes.
Ooh.
Killed it on Sunday.
Jordan Ford. The Rajon Tucker.
Dude, that dude can jump. I don't know what
I'm
the deal
liking
is
these guys.
Like.
I'm liking Kai Bowman, too.
I'm liking Kai Bowman. Who are we going to keep, man? Are we allowed to have – are some of these dudes not going to be on our roster, like Agualiente or the main roster?
I don't know. I bet some guys competing for two ways will end up being with the Caliente Clippers.
Yeah.
We got to keep these dudes.
We got to talk about Terrence Mann, because Terrence Mann on Sunday looked way more confident. Like, he stepped into a three. He was like, doing the little things. Still needs.
Had a couple of great finishes too.
Had a couple of great dunks. I was like, okay, team man.
Yes.
Like, he looked scared last year actively.
He really did. Palpable.
I was like, oh man, like he is afraid. And tonight he had like a big block on Quinn Cook that was really dope.
He swings for those blocks too. I'm worried he's gonna really hurt somebody.
Man, that dude's 20. He'll be fine. I hope he hurt somebody on the other team.
And Fee got a bunch of run in the game on Friday. And Fee, like, when Fee is on the court, he's at a 15 out of 10 in terms of like energy and like twitchy level. And when he really gets it under control to like a 12.5 out of 10 is when he's really effective. When he slows down just a bit is when Fee looks a little bit better. But still, like, I think Fee's way further away than Terrence Mann right now. Like, I think Terrence Mann's going to take some of Reggie minutes. Reggie didn't play at all in this game, and he was horrible in the game on Friday.
What about this point guard from St. Mary's, though?
Your guy?
Yeah.
Like, is that Jordan Ford?
Is that Jordan Ford? Let's do some Googling. I don't even know.
Yeah, Google it up real quick. But Jordan Ford, that man has a floater package that I don't think he missed the floater. He maybe missed one in the time he was in. Like, that dude can score.
Let me see.
Is that, that is your dude? This is somehow Carl's dude.
Yeah, this is my dude now. He's taking Amir Coffey's place as my dude.
Coffey like, has a run, yeah, too. That's him.
Yeah.
Are you going to trade in yourself or get a Ford?
So you can might have Jordan to get an F-150. Bro, that's what his nickname is. Jordan Ford's nickname is F-150.
That's tight as hell. Do you know what Kai Bowman's is?
What is it?
The first 48, because he's always catching bodies.
Oh, come on. Yeah. We got to keep these guys on. We got too many guards, man. We're like, but
these guys did not look serviceable. Like, Terrence Mann looked serviceable. The back end of this game on Sunday, like, it was horrible. Like, the guys, I feel really bad saying this, but like, the guys who were trying to make camp rosters didn't help their cases at all during Sunday's game.
Yeah.
Jordan Ford didn't help.
Ford made the most case, probably. Rajon Tucker jumps really high, which is awesome.
He didn't make any shots.
Man, they were throwing up bricks. Coming up, we're going to keep kind of talking what we thought of the new guys, including Will's favorite, Nicholas Batum, as well as Luke Kennard, and some worries, markedly kind of Marcus Morris's knee injury, coming up right after this break.
Okay, so we're back, and we're still talking some more about this preseason doubleheader. So where do we want to talk? Do we want to lead in with the new guys?
Yeah, let's talk to the new guys. Also, as Will mentioned at the top of the episode, send in your questions to @LockedOnClips for Twitter Tuesdays on tomorrow's episode. We'll read it. We'll give you a shout-out. It's a fun time. Let's talk about the new guys. Let's talk about Luke Kennard, who hadn't played competitive basketball in over a year. And given all that, he looks like once he really gets into the groove is going to be a really great fit in this Clippers second unit. Like, the dude can create, which is nice.
Yeah. Had a rougher game on Sunday than the first showing.
Oh yeah.
but you know what? Like, I think that it's still an exciting prospect. And it's kind of, so I guess I want to segue on this for 1 second. I feel like firmly the plan now for the second unit is they're going to move Nick Batum to the power forward off the bench next to Zoo. And then we're just going to go with three guards. Is that what everybody else is kind of picking up from what we've seen so far?
Oh, I mean, we saw the three guard lineup a little bit in game one, but I think Pat was playing really late on Sunday. So I think Pat actually might still be the starting or the second four.
Okay. And we'll move Batum back down a position.
Yeah, to the three, and then you have Luke and Lou and Zoo, which is another thing we're going to get to in a sec. But Kennard looked good. He definitely needs more reps, obviously, just from a health perspective. Batum hit some threes. Like, what did we think of Nick Batum? Carl, are you on Will's same path of Nick Batum being much better than we think he's going to be?
I pray to God he is. When we picked him up, I was like, what? That dude is slow as molasses.
He looks like he needs some more reps right now. Like,
what are we thinking when we picked him up? And I was like, are we about to cut Rajon Tucker?
Your guy?
Now, Jordan Ford's my guy. But, like, all these dudes are my guy. Wait, has the other guy from Mount St. Mary's been played yet?
Aturu?
I don't know.
Aturu's from Minnesota.
No, Aturu's played. And he's looked.
Yeah, he's a gopher. Okay. That's
Malik Fitz.
Fitz, I'm not entirely sure. I don't think so. I'm going to be honest. Also, I've been spacing out a little bit at the tail end of these games because it is.
As have I.
It's some hard basketball to watch. Between Batum and Kennard, who do we think's kind of looked the best of the new guys who are going to actually really do key additions? We're going to talk about Serge in a sec.
But well, I mean, those two, what do you think? It's completely different. Because
I guess development-wise. Like, we know, like, obviously we're not talking stats.
it's completely different. I mean, I think that Kennard fills a different need that he could play with the starters.
Good call.
Batum, I feel like, is only really doing that, to step up for someone who's out or injured.
Yes.
Whereas I could see rotations working out where, you know, maybe Kennard maybe Kennard comes in to kind of speed up the offense a little bit.
Yeah.
So
he was the first sub off the bench on Sunday, which I really liked, actually.
And we've been talking about that kind of throughout this, right? Like, I don't think that he's going to necessarily take the starting spot, but I think you know, depending on the matchup, it does make sense to kind of have him be that first sub in. So completely different guys. I would say, you know, both had their ups and downs. I mean, I thought Batum looked a lot better in the Sunday game, today's game, but you know, he hasn't played basketball and it's very clear he did
at a competitive high level.
He did supposedly, you know, lose a bunch of weight is what we were told, you know, kind of through this offseason,
20 pounds
coming into training camp. But he still looks out of shape. And I think that that will just come with more time on the court. And I think that as he gets that in, we'll see him, you know, be a little bit more sure-footed on the defensive end. I still thought that he looked pretty solid staying in front of guys, you know, overall.
Yeah, the shot looked like it got possession. Less flat as the game went on too.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I don't know, the free throw form is great. You know, he has, you know, he's a 37% career three-point shooter. Like, that's going to come. I'm not really worried about it. I think that once he gets his condition at the level where it really needs to be, he's going to be great. And he's also, I think, going to look a lot better, you know, going against other second unit talent once he's like kind of at his thing, you know? Right. I mean, like, I don't like, I'm excited for Batum. I think that he could be a really great addition, but I mean, I don't know that he's at a point in his career where he's still a starting caliber player for a team that's hoping to contend, you know, for a top seed in the Western Conference.
You think? I don't know, man. I'm not buying in on Nick Batum yet, honestly.
That's, I mean, it's fair to still be on the fence about it.
I mean, that's totally fair. I just think it's a quality pickup.
I hope I eat these words. I hope this becomes a very cold take.
Yes.
But I'm not with it yet.
Where are we at on Serge starting? Serge is now the starting center for all intents and purposes from what Ty Lewis said. Like, which I
don't love it from a mental standpoint. I don't love it from a Zoo's mental state. Don't love it for that. I hope,
because he's been through this before with the Lakers, right? Like, he was starting for the Lakers and there was a bunch of different circumstances that made him end up not starting, but like, he's been demoted before.
Yeah, but he has to know that he's not fully developed yet.
I think he does. That's the thing about Zoo is, like, yeah, I mean, you've never, Zoo was a bright spot in the locker room for the Clippers last season in terms of just locker room vibes, you know what I mean? Like, being that guy who's like never too rattled, it seems, and like all that, takes a joke well because it seems like a lot of people laugh at him in a nice way, if you know what I'm talking about.
This will be the best. This will be the best center he's played under,
for sure.
Definitely. Yes.
He can learn. So people are always talking about fee learning from Serge, and I'm like, I think Zoo can learn a lot more that will help him a lot more immediately than what fee can learn. Like, fee can learn development stuff from Serge. Zoo can learn active stuff to use when he's getting major minutes from Serge.
Terrence Mann was a real draft steal for us.
Let's hope so.
I like T-Man. I'm bought in on T-Man. Very hot take. We'll stay hot. Keep this on the burner.
Oh yeah,
Nick Batum trash. Hopefully that goes. Hopefully that goes ice cold.
Yeah,
I'm hoping.
You saying trash? I don't know, man.
I just don't know about Nick Batum, homie. I don't know.
At least we only have to pay him $2 million.
Yeah, I mean, he's on a vet, man. Like, so the Zoo thing, I don't necessarily worry about his confidence that much, because I still have confidence that we could see Zoo in closing lineups. Think what he talked about last season, you know, he was like, my first goal in the NBA was just to make a roster, you know, and then I wanted to be a starter, and now I want to be a closer, you know. And I think that it makes sense given the defensive presence. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, I still don't think we've seen Serge at 100% yet, just because, you know, it's been preseason games.
He does look like he'll fit, though. Like, that's what's nice, at least, about Serge, is like this change. You're like, well, it's not that crazy because it seems like Serge will fit well and change. I mean, the starting unit now has a lot more spacing.
They have even more spacing. But I do still think that Zoo is the bigger rim deterrent. And I don't know. I think defensively it's a better match. My issue with Zoo is, you know, I feel like he took a step back from a finishing standpoint too. I mean, he turned the ball over a couple times in the post. You know,
I think that's a familiarity.
He's dropping passes. He had a nice play action in that Friday with Kawhi. Nice little
The Kawhi and Zoo connection is real, which makes this kind of frustrating.
Yeah, so they work together really well, but it honestly seems, and I thought this last season too, almost anybody who can handle the ball can have a decent chemistry with Zoo.
100%. You
know, once, like, when his hands are there. And I like I said, I just feel like it took a step back through these two games, but I'm not necessarily worried about it.
Because Lou talked about that, though. He was like, Zoo's got to grow a little bit. And it's like, you know, Lou went from throwing a pick and roll to someone who he threw it with hundreds of times in summer games, you know, like two seasons ago with Trez. It runs down in Atlanta and stuff like that to Zoo. And it's like, once I get that familiarity down, it'll be good. But there's going to be some growing pains. Like, and if Lou isn't on the floor with the second unit, but Zubats is out there, it seems like he gets kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
Which, like, he can grab rebounds and stuff, but if no one's actually feeding him down low, it really kind of messes up the spacing a little bit.
Well, he and Kennard also work really well together already. I have faith in him. That's why I said, like, I'm not freaking out, but it's still, you don't love to see it. And I do think that it was obviously a factor in him not being with that starting lineup.
100%. Worries of this preseason, because there are a bit of worries. But first, Will, Carl, look, I've known you guys for a bit. Well, I've known Carl, but you guys both enjoy food, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
I just like it in general.
Yeah, sometimes it's good. Sometimes you need it. Well, some great food is provided by Built Bar. The improved Built Bar is even more delicious than it was before. The six new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, much like Cherry Garcia, if you will, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health conscious person, as we all are on this podcast. We're all trying to put our bodies in peak shape. Carl's trying to be a lineman in the NFL, which we're going to be very excited when his debut comes. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, the good lows, the best highs. They're great for the keto diet. Right now, you can also save on Built Bar if you want to get some your lazy relatives some good treats for the Christmas season or whatever holiday you celebrate, of course. Happy Hanukkah to our listeners who celebrate it. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. One more time, use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
All right, so we're back, and now we're just going to talk about some of our concerns that we have coming away from these preseason games.
So, Carl, are you worried about Marcus Morris missing both of these games due to knee soreness?
No, I'm not necessarily worried about that.
Okay.
I think it's precautionary.
Okay. You think he maybe could have gone, but they were like, there's no reason to?
No reason to, yeah. And it's already so many dudes on the roster. Let him take a break. I'm not worried about that. I will tell you what I'm worried about.
Because I would say it sounds like you're worried about something.
Nick Batum. Worried about Nick Batum. I'm worried
you
about
you. Do this to me.
I'm worried about our guard situation. I'm worried about our guard situation. I just, like, either we just gotta, like, start back Lou. Like, I wouldn't be against that. He started at point guard before in his career.
So you think start Lou over Patrick Beverley?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your problem with starting Pat?
I don't know, man. I'm being radicalized.
The internet, man. Ever since you got off Twitter, you've somehow become more radicalized, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, because now it's YouTube wormholes.
Oh, yeah. YouTube's algorithm's way more predatory than Twitter's. So
no, I don't know, man. Maybe I could totally be wrong about that. I'm fine with admitting if I'm wrong about it. I'm just worried about it. I just had my – you know how you want some – you want a type of food and the restaurant is closed forever because of COVID?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had my mouth all tuned up for a little good point guard, like real like George Hill, Lonzo Ball type action. And we didn't get that. And I don't think we're going to get that this season.
I think there's got to be a move at some point.
But I don't know if I agree with that. And I mean, I've said this before, but I'm kind of against it. I just think we have enough talent. We just got to be able to actually make it work. And if we can't make it work, then I don't think it's necessarily just a roster thing at that point.
We haven't even really talked about Pat Beverley during the preseason, because I feel like his run has been so, and this might be a good thing, it's been fine during these two games. You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't expressed horrible concerns about Pat Bev. because guys are still learning so much. But it just feels like another scenario where, like, you know, like with Doc, he was the one person who knew plays, right? So, like, hopefully now everyone knows the plays. But, you know, he averaged 3 fouls a game last season, which that can't happen again. Like, he can't be averaging foul trouble, right?
Like, also, just
he can't average 3 fouls in an entire game. I feel like that's fine.
For the whole season? I don't know, man. There were some
3 fouls in the first half.
Yeah.
Is rough.
Oh, like, in the first half. I thought you said the entire game. And I'm like, 3 fouls a game.
The game was a little
about.
Higher than 3, but like with Pat Bev, it comes in bunches, which is the issue. There'd be games where
the refs don't
like
him.
Yeah. Well,
that's very true. We're talking, I mean, we can put the lockdown conspiracy hats on right now if we want to.
Carl, who do you think gets screwed over harder by the refs, Pat Bev or Zoo, who never gets a call?
I think Pat Bev still gets screwed over more, but Zoo definitely gets beat up down there. And I think the refs,
dude,
like, I don't understand why. Like,
if
I'm
he
like,
starts
what
getting a whistle,
do?
Yeah,
he,
like,
gets clocked and he gets
a
whistle.
It's because of his haircut. You can't see how hard he's getting hit in his head because there's no hair to move. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. It's always a buzz cut.
They be whooping Zoo's ass down there.
They really do. Know. There was a play in the bubble where, like, 3 Maverick players were, like, literally pushing Zoo out of bounds. And the ref was like, fine, I guess I'll call a damn foul. Like,
yeah. I want to get out of here. I got to get back to the Grand Floridian.
Man, I bet the ref setup at the bubble was off the hinges, if you will. Those guys got a lot of downtime.
I'm a Reggie stan, but y'all are radicalizing me against Reggie. I don't know what it is, man. I feel like he shoots, not Lou. Pat Bev. I feel like he shoots better than Pat Bev.
Oof.
Pat Bev, I see him just missing some shots from the eye test. He just misses some shots, and I'm like, damn, Pat, you could have hit that because nobody guards him on the 3-point line.
Right,
but that's great.
But Reggie on Friday was like, oh, this is Reggie Jackson. I think he went 1-for-7 or 1-for-6.
I think it was 1-for-6.
And
it was rough.
It was a bad one. You know how sometimes you have a good 1-for-6? Like, we've all been on bad teams before. But, like, when you have a bad 1-for-6, it's like, oof, this is not good.
I'm worried about every season. This year, a lot of the pressure is off of us. And so I'm kind of taking it a little bit easier. You
okay.
know,
that's legit.
But my worries are always going to be there because I love the team so much. So.
Exactly. Yeah,
I respect
that's
it.
A good call.
Yeah, of course.
Are we worried at all? Speaking of Reggie Jackson, Reggie and Chauncey Billups were not on the bench for the Clippers on the Sunday game. They were excused absence under the league's health and safety protocols, which I don't think I'm going out on too short of a limb here. Seemingly kind of has to be related to COVID a little bit.
I don't think it is.
What would it be related to then?
Maybe they have, you know, maybe they just have a cold or something. Maybe Reggie, though, is never going to be able to come back. Who knows?
Okay. This sounds like wishful thinking on your part. but Ty Lue's not sure when they're going to be back, he said in the post-game presser. So, like, this leads me to believe there's maybe, like, a bit of there was a COVID something. The Clippers are very clandestine with stuff. Like, I want to again reiterate that none of this is totally confirmed, but like the fact that they're excused under the league's health and safety protocols, like, it's a preseason game. You don't have to show up if you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, and it's Chauncey. So, well, it's something to keep an eye on. I hope they're there for Thursday's game is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who got on Thursday? Denver?
The Yaz. How are you guys feeling about Thursday's game? What are you looking for in Thursday's game, Carl?
A dub.
That's all you're worried about?
Yeah, because it's like, even though it's preseason and we can say don't worry
about
stuff.
Clips haven't won a preseason game since like 2018.
Yeah, let's get a preseason pop. let's just get one in just so we can see what these guys do. And I want to see a big game from my boy F-150. And I want to see a big game from T-Man. I want to start T-Man over Pat Beverly in this game.
Oh, what?
This is insane.
Yeah, let it be insane. It's the preseason.
That's fair.
Who's starting? Who's your ideal starting five for the game on Thursday against the Yaz?
Let's go F-150, T-Man at the 2, Kawhi, PG, and Serge.
I like it.
What happens? Let's just see what happens.
I mean,
no, I'm all down for the experimentation for sure.
That's a good call. What are our impressions of Ty Lue so far? He's run a couple two-a-days. Where are we at?
One thing that stuck out to me is, like, the man never wastes a timeout. We've seen him call timeouts in a couple like early in the shot clock kind of plays when it's, you know, when I think he's a little bit nervous about guys getting to their spots.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, he's known for being, you know, inventive and great at drawing up ATOs, but I think beyond that, he's just, you know, he's still trying to tweak things, but he's recognizing issues and he's addressing them.
Yeah.
In game. And it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like I can't tell you what an unproductive timeout looks like. I mean, I can kind of, but I can definitely tell you what a productive timeout looks like.
Yeah. Carl, where are you at with Ty Lue so far?
I like him. I think he's trying to be opposite of Doc in that he's being proactive, very proactive about.
He should wear his pants as a shirt, be the complete opposite of Doc.
Yeah. I remember Doc made that comment and was like, all right, yeah, but Ty Lue was sitting right
It's going to be the same thing. You're like, shut up, Doc.
I bet he's like, no, it's not.
Ty Lue's mad about that.
Also, I think there's a ton of pressure on him, man. Like,
it's a legacy thing.
And I feel like, I know, like, y'all can willingly kill me for this, Clipper Nation, but I feel like they are priming the Lakers for a goddamn beginning of the decade three-peat. Like,
oh.
I feel like they're doing.
Are you saying like, they is in the NBA?
The NBA.
Get the tinfoil. Get your tinfoil. Put it over. Put it over your 5950.
Come on. I think that can be halted. I think it can be stopped
for sure.
And I think that's what Ty Lue is trying to go for. And I think that's dope.
Ty Lue is the savior that the league needs, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's a good call.
He can restore balance.
He can restore balance, of course. Well, I think before we get out, I mean, I think that's everything in shavings. Carl, what last thing would you like to leave Clipper Nation on? Thank you for being on the show, of course. Always a fantastic time. What would you like to leave thoughts for some Clipper fans out there?
I want to say to the Clipper fans, I've said some crazy shit this episode, man, but I just want you to know that I didn't watch these games. And so I only saw clips. Because preseason basketball is boring and football is still going on right now. And we had a game every day this week because of COVID. Speaking of COVID, it's about to be a weird, rough season. So strap in, buckle up. We got some good looking shit out there. These two games haven't been the prettiest things, but I'm already attached to these rookies. Yes. And I'm going to hate to see them not play. But some of these guys, I feel like we still got that same hungry energy that is true Clipper energy, where it's like nothing's going to be given to us. Right. We're going to be the most disrespected. So hell just yeah. Keep driving, keep pushing, and keep going. And players like Kai Bowman, like I should have said that too. I mean, I'm stoked for F-150 and Terrence Mann, but Kai Bowman, I feel like we should give him a spot.
I kind of love watching him every time he's on the court.
Yeah, he's really energetic.
Played really well for those shitty ass Warriors last year.
Yes, he did. He absolutely did.
And I remember watching that Christmas Day game where they beat Houston, and that was supposed to be like the marquee matchup. And then when everybody went down, everyone was like, "Nobody, this game."
It was like,
suck.
"Oh shit!"
But they came through and they pulled up and they won. And Kai Bowman had a lot to do with that.
He locked up Russ that game.
Yeah, yeah. So I like Kai Bowman. I think we should throw him a spot. It's hard because we're very guard heavy. But
yeah,
I like these guys, man. I hope that y'all like them too. And I hope that y'all can talk me off the ledge. We can talk each other off the ledge. And man, we still the nation, baby. We still the nation. We it's always gonna be uphill, but we strong. That's why we got these rear delts. Okay. We strong.
The soldiers in PG Army have the biggest rear delts.
Hell yeah, bro. We are soldiers in the Army of PG.
It's only leg work and delt work. Leg work for very obvious reasons.
Exactly. Y'all saw what he did. Well, what happened to our captain. We got a ride for him. We soldiers. Let's keep going. I promise to watch the Denver game. I mean, the Yaz game.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again, Carl, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Locked on Clippers favorite. On Tuesday, we're going to have Twitter Tuesday. So send those questions in to @LockedOnClips. Definitely talking some rotation talk. And of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. Carl, where can these fantastic people find you real quick?
On Instagram at dammitcarl, dammitcarl. You can't find me on Twitter.
There you go. You can find us at @LockedOnClips on Twitter. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer. Will, what can these people do when they listen to us on those platforms?
You can go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. It really helps us out. If you feel so inclined, leave us a rating or review. We'd love it. We'll definitely read it on air. And yeah, just keep rocking with us. One more game in the preseason, and we're just a little over a week away from the start of the season. So yeah, let's just keep doing it. We're ready. We're built for this.
The season's in, season opener in less than 10 days. Thank y'all for being with us. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We've been joined by
Dr. Tarji, the medical, the on the field medic in the Army. Because I'm a soldier.
All right, he's a soldier. He's a doctor.
Never collapsed a lung.
Yeah, never punched anyone's lung. We'll see everybody on Tuesday.